We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
You know, when I was growing up, I've mentioned to this many times before about the fact that there were many songs that I used to sing as a kid that I never really quite understood or appreciated or made all that much sense to me. But as I've grown in my faith and these years being a pastor here at Faith and even before coming here, I've learned to appreciate some of the songs that kind of have become ingrained in me. And every so often, I'll find myself singing a song that really brings back a lot of memories. And one of those songs that I used to sing growing up in church was a song called In Times Like These. And I so appreciate Chad and his ability to lead us in worship. And yesterday, he and I were texting a little bit back and forth, and I said, Chad, do you know this song? And he said, no, I don't. And I guess that just proves he's still young, right, guys? And so we appreciate him, and I'm so thankful he led us in worship. But let me share the song with you, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing because you guys would tune right out if I did that, all right? So don't worry, I'm not singing, all right? But let me just read to you from the lyrics of this song. The song says this: in times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. And so be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. So be very sure that your anchor holds and that it grips the solid rock. Then the writer says this: in times like these, and I love this, you need the Bible. And in times like these, oh, be not idle, and be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You know, when I sang that song years ago, it didn't have the impact that it does now on me. But here's what I know, that in times like these, there have always been times like these. This is nothing new. What we're facing today, what we're dealing with today, we somehow think is original or it's unprecedented, but the truth is there have always been times of challenge and struggle, times when our faith is tested, times when fear seems to get the upper hand, times when we wonder what is happening. Friends, we are not in some unique time frame. These kinds of things have happened before, and here's the reality. They're going to happen again. Even when we can't understand what is happening, what we need to remember is what Jesus told us, and that is this, that there would be times like this. My opening passage that I read this morning out of John 14 says this: Jesus promised, you will have tribulations and you will have trouble. But here's the good news today. In a world that is gripped by hysteria and panic, we have hope in the eternal promises given to us by God. For the next few moments, I want to remind us what God's Word has to say to us. And the title of the sermon is, In Times Like These. So let me give you these thoughts as we worship together this morning from God's Word. And I take you back to the text when Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And these things, he says in John 16, 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why, Jesus said, because I have overcome the world. So today, in times like these, number one, remember that peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is not the absence of problems. For many people, Christians especially, we have a misunderstanding of peace. We tend to lean in the direction that peace means never having any pain and never having any problems. But did you know that the Bible does not describe peace this way? This is why we often spend so much time, money, and energy on trying to be safe. We make safety and security the priority to the point of an idol. I'm not saying we shouldn't be smart and live sensibly. I'm reminded of the fact that I'm actually preaching to an empty room right now. I get it. And the truth is this: we live by faith, but God's Word does not expect us to live foolishly. We're missing the point of Jesus' words and where peace comes from. You see, the secret to peace is to rest in the promise of Jesus' words. He's overcome the world and all the problems. The truth is, you can never escape conflict, but you can experience peace. Jesus never promised safety and security. That's not found in the Bible, that we would always have this safe and secure life, a life that would be somehow free of sickness. People get sick. People struggle. People deal with sorrow. While we live in this sin-cursed world, what we do know is that Jesus said he has overcome the world and that in him, dear friends, is where true peace is actually found. You see, true peace is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind what another author said about peace, and I love this. I love what this author said. He said, the peace that Jesus gives is not circumstantially based. It is a peace in bad circumstances. You know, peace is far more than just a feeling. Peace is knowing that God is ultimately in control and we are under the calm assurance of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. I love the words of Jesus. They speak to our heart. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. He's speaking to us. My peace, Jesus says, my peace, the peace that I have with the Father, my peace, I give that to you. You don't think about this, would you, for just a moment? As I read the text this week, and just having come back from Israel, having walked where Jesus walked, having seen Golgotha, the empty tomb, the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm reminded that Jesus spoke these words just hours before he would go to the cross. You see, in the midst of his greatest crisis, he was fully assured and resting in God's promises. And do you know what that means, dear church? We can too. You see, in times like these, we remember that peace is not an absence of problems, but number two, we also remember that peace is experiencing the power and the presence of Christ. I want to let you guys in on a little secret. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think that the people in the Bible were some kind of superheroes, that they never struggled with fear or anxiety or worry, that they never got sick, that they never had problems. You know, we sometimes look at people in the Bible like they were super Christians. They were perfect people. But did you know the greatest men and women of the Bible all struggled? In fact, they all got scared, they all got nervous, and they all got anxious from time to time. It's not necessarily a sin to have these feelings. But what can happen, and what often happens, is that these feelings begin to control us. And here's what fear does to you, dear friend. Fear will paralyze you. Do you know that one of the greatest men in the Bible struggled at times with these feelings? You know, yesterday, late afternoon, while I was working on my notes, I was thinking about Paul and all that he went through. And while I love the Apostle Paul and everything that he did, one of the things I appreciate so much about him and so much about the Word of God is the vulnerability that Paul displayed in talking openly about what was going on. Here's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. He said, for even when we came into Macedonia, listen to this, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without fear. Within. Let me read that again. Our bodies had no rest. We were afflicted at every turn. There was fighting without, and there was fear within. You ever felt that? You feel that now? I know I sure did as we were hearing all the news that was breaking while we were in Israel, thousands of miles away from our family and away from our church. I was separated from Angela and thinking about our staff and thinking about you guys and what are we going to do. And then as we were landing and catching flights and trying to get in before the deadline, and I was texting back and forth with Pastor Micah and trying to communicate with our staff and just the anxiousness of all that, the fear of all that and what that was doing. And I realized very quickly, this is nothing, you know, new. People struggle with things like this. You know what Paul went on to talk about? He said, we had fightings, we had fears, our bodies had no rest. But here's what Paul said. You read on in that chapter, Paul says, God comforted them. Later, when Paul spoke to a young, timid man who was later greatly used by God, Paul said these words to a guy named Timothy. He said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The great prophet Isaiah spoke these words, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." The peace of God is to act as an umpire. It means, according to Colossians chapter 3, to rule our life. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule your hearts. You know that word let indicates that we already have it in our life? It just means that we need to learn how to let it rule and to let it reign. You see, God's peace is to preside over our life, calming and controlling our hearts, our minds, and our actions. God gives us power over fear. Fear tends to equal paralysis. God's power frees us to take action. You know what the opposite of fear is? The opposite of fear is love. 1 John says that perfect love casts out fear. And then a sound mind. A sound mind is the result of right thinking. You know, there's lots of voices today, lots of things being said, but we listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, if you study peace, which I did, and it's really interesting, it will lead you to understand that peace is a huge topic in the Bible. In fact, the word itself, peace, appears in the Bible around 400 times. And I think that if God mentions something in his word 400 times, it's worth taking note, don't you guys? You know, in the Old Testament, it primarily is called shalom. And those that were with me on our trip to Israel heard that word mentioned a lot, shalom. It's the word that means peace. It's carried over into the New Testament, and the general idea of the word means an all-round well-being, freedom from fear and want, contentment in relationship with God, others, and creation, an awareness. I love this. One of the commentators describes it this way, an awareness of spiritual security. The word used by Jesus here in the New Testament, the words that we read earlier in John 14 and John 16, the words used here means to bind together. It speaks of oneness, of wholeness, of completeness, an inner stability that keeps one on course no matter what is going on around you. Friends, let me tell you what peace is. Peace has its roots in the soil of relationship. The peace of God is the presence of Jesus in our life through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus made this possible through his sacrifice and victory over the grave. He gave us himself, Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. You know what Jesus told his men? He said, guys, I'm going away. I'm going to the cross, and then I'm going to the grave, and then ultimately I'm going to the Father. You can imagine the panic that must have struck them. Jesus, where are you going? Several of them said, we're going to go with you. We know they couldn't and they didn't. And so Jesus is letting them know, I will no longer be beside you, but I will dwell inside you. Because Jesus knew it's better for me to dwell in you than beside you. And do you know that today we have the same promise? You see, peace can be broken down several ways, all right? So we have peace with God, we have peace within, and then we have peace with others. You can lay it out this way if you want to, church. Peace with God, number one. And peace from God, number two, and number three, all right, the peace of God. It's not really possible to do something. I hope you can see this. What's not possible is you cannot break the relational connection. Peace must always be seen in the context of a relationship. That's where the roots go, into the soil of a relationship with Jesus Christ. From the soil of a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, here's what this means. Peace can be produced in us and through us by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, when you think of peace, you tend to think in terms of the absence of something. No conflict, no problems, no pain. We tend to think that peace is the absence of all of these things. We often hear people use this phrase, this will give you peace of mind. You ever talk to an insurance salesman and they say, well, you've taken out this much, but if you took just a little more, you'd have peace of mind. And people today are seeking peace of mind. All you have to do is go into the stores and the shopping centers and see people are seeking peace of mind. I mean, my goodness, we're out of toilet paper. Who would have ever thought that would happen in America? I mean, good night. It's hard to believe that, right? And you know, I thought about this. The reason so many people panic buy is because they want a sense of control. They want a sense of safety. They think if they have more stuff, that equals security. They want that security in a world that's filled with chaos. They think if they pack their house full of stuff, and some of you have done that, and I'm not criticizing you for that. I just want you to know that all that stuff isn't going to equal safety, because it all sounds good, but remember something. Peace is not the absence of something or the possession of something. Let me tell you what peace is. Peace is the application of something and the presence of someone. Peace is the presence and application of God's righteousness. And who is God's righteousness? It's Jesus. If we cut to the chase, Jesus dealt with the biggest conflict we have and would ever have to face, friends, and that is sin. Christ paid the price for our peace. Peace in our hearts comes from Christ in our life. And peace is the result of knowing Christ and being found in him. I love what one author said, Christopher Wright. He said, peace is not just a happy feeling. It's the heart of the gospel of Christ and the glory of God. Let me close with one last reminder about living in times like these. Because peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is experiencing the power and the presence of Christ. But number three, prayer is the pathway that leads to a life of peace. Let me say that again. Prayer is the pathway that leads to a life of peace. Prayer could be described as the activation process for peace. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7 says this, "Be careful for nothing, for those of you who are worry warts." And I can tell you right now, I worry enough for me and Angela together, all right? My worry bank can get full fast, and some of you are in here. This is God's antidote for those of us who are filled with worry. Be careful for nothing. Be full of angst. Be anxious. Be worryful for nothing. But in everything, we don't need to be a Greek scholar to know what this means, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Are you scared? Are you nervous? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Take it to God. Cry out to him in prayer. Because here's what happens. Here's the application process. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your hearts and minds. The idea of the word keep is a garrison. It's a fortress. Where are the biggest battles taking place in your life right now? Not so much around us, but within us. I want to remind you what the Apostle Paul said. He said there were fightings without and there were fears within. Fightings without, fears within. He's describing what many of us are feeling right now. He's describing what the world is feeling. He's describing what you're feeling. You see, God's peace becomes activated through prayer. It's what protects us. You see, it's his voice in the midst of the storm that calms our hearts. Isn't that what Jesus said as he walked out onto those men on the Sea of Galilee? He said, "Be not afraid, it is I." Hey friends, listen to me for just another minute, would you? There are a lot of voices out there right now, a lot of voices in this world spitting out information, lots being said, and much of it does not bring peace. So I want you to remember something. In the midst of this virus, the world needs to hear the voice of believers who are living with peace. While we may be unable to gather together the way we would like, let me remind you of something. Our mission to go has not changed. The mission of a Christian is to carry the message of peace to a world that is in conflict. You know, the enemy may see this time as a way to try and scatter and scare people, even believers. I believe that God may be using this time to gather and strengthen his children. You see, in many ways, it's a reaffirmation of our mandate to go and make disciples. You say, "Well, Pastor, how is that?" Why? Because we have a platform to display the peace of God that comes from being in a relationship with the Son of God. While everyone's panicking and worrying and filled with hysteria and anxiety, the world should be able to look at those of us who have the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, look at our lives and say, why are you so calm? Why are you able to deal with this the way you are? I'll tell you why. Because I have the presence of Jesus Christ in my life. It may very well cause us to open our hearts and our homes to our neighbors and our friends, to reach out with the message of hope and love, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So church, as I conclude this morning, in times like these, we must live out our faith and display peace to a world that is living in fear and panic. I know many of you are watching and you joined today from your homes or living rooms of family and friends. And so wherever you are, I'd like you just to call a timeout, if you will, a pause. And I'd like you to come together and take a minute and let's do something as a church. While we can't all be together here, we can all be praying together. We can go all in on this thing called prayer. And so right where you are, would you take a moment? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Gather your loved ones, and let's pray together. Let's pray that God would help us and strengthen us and fill us with His Spirit as we navigate our way through this time of crisis in the world.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.